I'm in a great mood. In the second segment of the first hour, I will show you how Trump is robbing us blind. What are we going to do? Be in a bad mood for 4 years? I mean, a year. I got a lot of theories. Check out, if you remember, check out Old School from last night. At the very end, I have new predictions on when Donald Trump's going to leave. Okay, tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. Support the show, get all the shows. I think only the members get Old School. So it's a great show. Anyways, you know what? I got a bunch of random stories to start with, and I got a bunch of random side notes. Like, this is like, speaking of Old School, I used to start a show like this all the time back in the day. I got random notes for you guys. All right, so here's random note number one. I got to get rid of this shirt. Okay, I have some shirts that are like 10, 20 years old, right? And you can see my chest hair through this shirt. I don't know if the mic picked it up, but Edwin just said, "Oh, dude." So, man, I am too cheap. I am too cheap. I have got to get some sort of new clothes. Anyway, I told you it was random. It's a crazy day. Second of all, Edwin gave me an idea. We're talking about how Trump's always down in Palm Beach, and that's his so-called winter White House. I decided I'm going to get a winter White House. But it's like when, you know, once a year I go down to Miami, I think I'm going to do it at the end of April for like 3 days. The shitty ass hotel I'm going to stay in, that's my winter White House. That's the hotel where, if you heard one of the post games, where I put up our guests when we were getting married, and the bathroom ceiling caved in on one of them. My winter White House. And then random note number three, for no reason at all, I'm going to give a shout out to Kyle Kulinski. He hosts Secular Talk, it's part of the TYT network. That dude's a badass, man. You should check out his show. And he is the original author of the Justice Democrats platform. He's, I don't know if that makes him the Thomas Jefferson or the James Madison of the Justice Democrats. But check out Secular Talk, it's a great show. And of course, check out JusticeDemocrats.com. Okay. That was super random. We're going to get the show started now with also fun random stories. Like I said, later in this hour, super substance in terms of what they're doing with Department of Housing and Urban Development, what Trump's shady business dealings, and then the second hour, British black actors fight with American black actors. Who started the fight? Who's right? I have strong opinions. Strong opinions with Cenk Uygur. Okay, anyways, let's get started. Okay, Mitch McConnell is at a breakfast where they're asking him about policy. It is put together by Politico's playbook event, and they're going to ask him about the wall that Trump wants to build on the Mexican border. He has some curt but very clear answers. So first of all, does it make sense to build a wall on the entirety of the border? Let's find out from Mitch McConnell.
There are some places along the border where that's probably not the best way to secure the border.
Well, that's it. Okay, not the best way to secure the border. Now, Mitch McConnell is the leader of the Republicans in the Senate. I'm going to tell you why he's saying this stuff in a second, because that's interesting. But what do you think? Can we get Mexico to pay for it? Let's find out.
Do you believe that Mexico will pay for it?
No.
No, that's it. No. So now that's kind of an open-handed slap to Trump. Why is he doing that? Well, at first I was like, maybe he just thinks, look, man, I want the tax cuts. I want all the things that my donors want. The wall, I guess some construction buddies of Trump would get paid, but I don't really care much about that. No. Remember, for the establishment Republicans, the Chamber of Commerce controls them almost completely. Multinational corporations are their largest donors and the lobbyists they most listen to. And what do giant corporations want? Cheap labor. So they don't want a wall. So his establishment donors told Mitch McConnell, humor Trump. Let's get our tax cuts that we want. Let's get the deregulation that we want. Kill Obamacare because that has tax increases for the rich, and I want my tax cuts. So that's your number one priority. The wall, not only is it a low priority, establishment Republicans don't actually want it because they want the cheap labor for their businesses. So that's what's going on. Okay, so that was nice and easy. Now let's go to another nice and easy story, Paul Ryan. Now, we've been telling you that the main reason that Obamacare repeal is happening so quick and is such a high priority for the Republicans is not just because they promised it to their voters and demagogued on it. The reason they demagogued on it in the first place is because it had a slight tax increase on the rich and on corporations. And if you're a Republican, oh my God, core meltdown, that's our donors, no way, no way. So Ryan, his proposal gives back $600 billion in tax cuts to the rich. You know how much the bottom 90% get in tax cuts? Zero. Nothing from the Ryan Republican proposal. It's amazing. I'm going to tell you how much the rich get from it in a second. But first, shockingly enough, he's challenged on this on Fox News of all places by Tucker Carlson of all people. This is a record. The first time ever Tucker Carlson has not been unbearable. Let's watch.
Overview here is that all the wealth basically in the last 10 years is stuck to the top end. That's one of the reasons we've had all this political turmoil, as you know. And so kind of a hard sell to say, yeah, we're going to repeal Obamacare, but we're going to send more money to the people who've already gotten the richest over the last 10 years. I mean, that's what this does, no? I'm not a leftist, it's just that's true.
I'm not that concerned about it because we said we were going to repeal all the Obamacare taxes. This is one of the Obamacare taxes.
That's it. I'm not that concerned about it. You're goddamn right it goes all to the rich. The top 0.1% from just this Obamacare repeal will get on average $200,000 a year extra. 90% of us will get zero. So when they say, oh, well, tax cuts for everybody. No, no, in this case, it's not for everybody. It is literally for only the top 10%, and the majority of it goes to the top 0.1%, who on average make $3.75 million a year anyway. And when Paul Ryan's asked about it, he's like, yeah, and who cares? Hey, Tucker, who do you think I work for? All my donors are rich and they're corporations. That's who I serve. I'm just an errand boy. Yeah, that's not the bug in this Republican proposal. That's the feature. That's the whole point of the bill. Like I'm supposed to care that it's going to create income inequality. I'm a Republican, Tucker Carlson. I love income inequality. The way he brushed that off was awesome. Like, oh, the middle class. What did you think we cared? We're Republicans. Yes, of course it's going to go all to the rich. $600 billion. And by the way, they tell you, if your kids want a free education so they can live the American dream, $75 billion. No way. Way too expensive. Because I've got to give $600 billion to the rich. If you don't know what the Republicans are all about, he just told you. Okay, I'm moving. This is one of those sadder stories. I wish I didn't have to do this to Ted Cruz. I really wish I didn't have to do it. He made me do it. What could I do? So now you remember Ted Cruz was one of Donald Trump's main opponents in the primaries in 2016. And he had called Donald Trump things such as pathological liar, narcissist, and utterly amoral. Okay, so that's fun. In fact, JR did a compilation here to give you a sense of how mad Ted Cruz was at Donald Trump at the time. Now, after you see this, I'm going to show you what Ted Cruz is doing with Donald Trump now. Oh no. First, watch this.
I don't get angry often. But you mess with my wife, you mess with my kids, that'll do it every time. Donald, you're a sniveling coward and leave Heidi the hell alone.
So will you support him as the nominee?
I'm going to beat him for the nomination.
That's not answering the question, Senator, respectfully.
I am answering the question. Donald Trump will not be the nominee.
He's leading right now. You just looked in that camera and said he is a coward. Will you support him as the nominee?
Donald Trump will not be the nominee. Donald Trump is a gift wrapped in a pink little bow. For the Democratic Party, it hands the general election to Hillary Clinton.
It didn't work out that way. It turns out Trump did win the primary and he did win the general election. Now let's look at a gift wrapped up in a pretty little pink bow. Jesus, can you bring up that tweet for me that Ted Cruz just sent out? This is from Ted Cruz. Our family had dinner with President and First Lady, who were warm and gracious. Catherine brought Joe her kindergarten class stuffed giraffe. After what he did to your family, this is what you do now? you pretty little pink bow. Oh, you're so sad. So sad. Remember, he said that your father helped assassinate JFK. He called your wife ugly. Now, remember, again, I'm sorry, he made me do it. I didn't send that tweet out, he sent it out. I'm going to show you another compilation of Ted Cruz back in the day.
Donald, you're a sniveling coward, and leave Heidi the hell alone. Donald has a real problem with women. People who are insecure. Donald is terrified by strong women. He lashes out at them. Donald Trump is a serial philanderer, and he boasts about it. This is not a secret. He's proud of being a serial philanderer. When Donald gets scared, when he gets angry, when he's threatened, he begins yelling, he begins screaming, he begins often cursing. And he begins trying to be a bully. This man is a pathological liar. He doesn't know the difference between truth and lies. He lies practically every word that comes out of his mouth. He will betray you on every issue across the board. Bragging about infidelity. Now, what does he do? He does the same projection. Just like a pathological liar, he accuses everyone of lying. He accuses others of doing what he is doing. The man cannot tell the truth, but he combines it with being a narcissist.
It's, of course, actually the most accurate things Ted Cruz has ever said in his lifetime. But back then, he was pretending to be a tough guy. In fact, his whole career was built on, like, I'll shut down the government. I'll do what other establishment Republicans won't do. I'm so tough. And Donald, you leave Heidi the hell alone. Otherwise, I'll bring her to dinner and let you be gracious to her as I snivel to you later. Oh, that's so sad. Now, why is he doing that? Because he's not actually a tough guy. He's not courageous. He just does whatever his donors tell him to do. And his number one donor during the primaries was the Mercer family, who then switched over after he lost and was the number one donor to Donald Trump. And after he did not endorse Donald Trump at the Republican convention, he went up to the Mercer suite and they slammed the door in Cruz's face. Oh, ouch, that hurts. All of a sudden, not so tough. All of a sudden, oh no, I meant Donald is gracious and wonderful and warm. Did I say pathological liar? I meant I love Donald Trump. Oh, you're so sad. But let's finish him and show you my favorite picture in the world. This is during the general election when he finally caved and started making calls for Trump. Hi, this is Ted Cruz. Can you please help elect Donald Trump? That's literally the saddest picture I've ever seen. Ah, Ted. I didn't want to do it. You made me do it, Ted. Don't send out nice tweets about Donald Trump. Just shh. Pathetic. Okay. Tough guy. Okay, let's move forward. Speaking of tough guys and getting embarrassed. Okay. Now, Donald Trump's been very tough on CNN. He calls them fake news all the time. In fact, here, let me show you this tweet. He says, the fake news media failing New York Times, NBC News, ABC, CBS, and CNN is not my enemy. It is the enemy of the American people. And it wasn't just tweets. He said it as well. Let's watch the video.
A few days ago, I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are. They are the enemy of the people.
And as I showed you specifically in that tweet, he mentioned CNN. So Jeff Zucker, who runs CNN, was outraged by that, rightfully so. He said that Trump's comments were, quote, dangerous, unprecedented, and shocking. Shocking. Okay, well, I think it's fair. I mean, I've never seen a president say that the press is the enemy of the people. It is absolutely outrageous. Zucker's absolutely right about that. In fact, he went on to say, it has been shocking to watch how many members of the political establishment have not been willing to stand up to that statement. Well, that part I don't agree with because that part is not shocking. Politicians are cowards. They're errand boys for their donors. To expect them to do something courageous is a fool's errand. But okay, overall, I understand the sentiment though, and Jeff Zucker is totally right about that. So, of course, in response, he's gonna show Donald Trump what's what. He's gonna hold him accountable, and CNN is gonna be the watchdog that we need. That's why today they hired Jason Miller. Who's Jason Miller? Trump's former senior communications advisor and spokesperson. Ugh. That's embarrassing, dude. After he criticizes you like that and he spits in your face, you go do him a favor by hiring the guy who was his mouthpiece, and you're going to pay Donald Trump's mouthpiece to be on your air and do his propaganda. Now, I want to remind you of this interaction that Donald Trump had with Jim Acosta from CNN. This is right when they were most heated, and look at how badly Donald Trump treats CNN here. Watch.
Since you're attacking us, can you give us a question? Mr. President-elect.
Go ahead.
Mr. President-elect, since you are attacking our news organization, can you give us a chance?
Your organization.
You are attacking our news organization.
Your organization.
Can you give us a chance to ask a question, sir?
Go ahead.
Sir, can you state, Mr. President-elect,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically?
She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Mr. President-elect, can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
You're attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you give us a question?
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you state categorically?
You are fake news.
Sir,
go ahead.
Can you state categorically that nobody? No, Mr. President-elect, that's not appropriate.
He called you fake news, and then you hired his mouthpiece. It reminds me, of course, of John Stossel and Dr. David D. Schultz.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh?
What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh? You think it's fake? What do you mean?
What the hell's wrong with you? That's an open-handed slap. Jeff, he open-handed slapped you. And what'd you do? You paid his mouthpiece. You hired his former spokesperson, and you're paying him a good salary to do propaganda on your air. That's embarrassing. Embarrassing. You did it before, too, with Corey Lewandowski. Oh, Joe, I'm fair and balanced. I mean, I'll have some people tell the truth and some people tell lies. Some people that will be challenge the government a little bit, then I'll brag about it, right? And then some people who will just be do propaganda for the government. No matter how much they lie, it doesn't matter. And it's not like he's the only person who supports Trump on CNN. There's two others at least, Jeffrey Lord and all the other people who make outrageous defense of Donald Trump. But this is his former spokesperson. Now, our graphic here, most busted name in news, that might seem harsh, right? Well, it turns out it doesn't matter. If you insult CNN, they hire you. If you really insult CNN, they'll pay you a ton of money to insult them on their own air. It's an open-handed slap. What are you going to do about it? The answer isn't nothing. The answer is, yes, sir, absolutely, sir. I will not hire your former spokesperson in an effort to be fair to you. The correct answer is, actually do watchdog journalism. I don't care what the Republican Party says. I don't care what the Democratic Party says. I don't care what Trump says. I don't care what the government says. What is the truth? What is the reality? You don't need two sides doing propaganda. You just need all of your people to actually try to arrive at what is real. You don't need to pay someone to do propaganda after they spit in your face. But the mainstream media is never, ever, ever going to get it. As Jeff Zucker said earlier that the era of access journalism was over. Well, what is this? It's not over. It took like a 2-week vacation and they're right back in it. This is why no one trusts the media. Luckily, there's a new independent media and we don't play this game. Can you imagine us paying a Trump spokesperson? Or a Democratic spokesperson, or any of those guys. No, our job is to hold them to account, and that should be everybody's job in the media. But for CNN, they are so proud today. They got a Trump guy, and they're paying him a lot of money. They're making it rain on him. Congratulations. Boy, you're so trusted. And they can't figure out why the American people have lost faith in the mainstream media. It's not that complicated. Young Turks. All right, back on the Young Turks. Time to read a couple of quick tweets for you guys. Grumpy Old Nerd writes in, rich people taxing the poor to build golden palaces isn't new. It goes all the way back to the first person to call himself king. And speaking of which, I've got a lot of Donald Trump corruption stories coming up for you in this segment. Jay Glory says, video clip montages are better than any I see in the mainstream media. thank you. We appreciate it. Most of that is done by the legendary producer, J.R. Jackson. Laura Liu says, catching TYT live, actually live now that I'm back in the States. Even got my 71-year-old mom watching. She says she loves that Cenk guy. Right back at you. Okay. 71-year-old mom of Laura Liu, bless your heart. Okay. Adrian Ginn says they want access, so CNN had to buy one of his people. That's right. And Far Left says CNN should change its slogan from the most trusted name in news to too weak. All right, let me read out a couple of names of people who are helping us do journalism. Our reporters are unabated and unbowed. We got to tell you a quick story about this, okay? Nomi is covering, you guys helped to hire Nomi through tytnetwork.com/go. And then she was covering the DNC race. And then Tom Perez started, and his people started complaining, oh, you guys are basically being too aggressive. Now that got back to me. And normally that's when a person in charge goes, oh, no, wait a minute, I need access. I was like, Nomi, double down. Do a video right now, hit him again. And by the way, it's not a matter of hitting him, I hit him. Nomi was asking the same exact questions to every candidate, but Perez didn't want to answer him. Okay? She did a video, I did a video, and guess what happened? So in the old days, like the media would be like, oh, please, please give us access. Tom Perez did the interview anyway. Because you know why? They're afraid of you guys. Too strong, man. So thank you to Marco from California, gave $50. Leonora from Michigan, $50. And Dan from New Hampshire, $127. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. And that is tytnetwork.com/go to help us hire those journalists. By the way, oh, next week, a lot of them are going to be here. Nomi, Jordan, Michael Tracy are all going to be on here. Ryan Grimm, and they're going to be on air with us. They're all coming out to LA. And we're going to have them on the air throughout most of the week. So that's going to be super exciting. Thank you to everyone who donated and made that possible. Now, let's tell you about Trump corruption. Okay. I love that graphic. Okay. So recently, Donald Trump decided that he was going to praise ExxonMobil to no end. That's kind of curious. Now, he loves him some ExxonMobil. That's why he made Rex Tillerson their CEO, the Secretary of State. It's unbelievable. He decided to do a media blitz. In fact, BuzzFeed describes it as such. They say the president's media blitz came within hours of a meeting with Tillerson, the former ExxonMobil CEO who was once the company's largest single shareholder. Well, now let's see, is that true? I mean, was he really that complimentary of ExxonMobil? Let's watch.
Pleased to announce that the great company ExxonMobil is going to be investing $20 billion in the Gulf Coast and the Gulf Coast region. It'll be 45,000 jobs, and they're great jobs, $100,000 average. And this is something that was done to a large extent because of our policies and the policies of this new administration having to do with regulation and so many other things. So I said we're bringing back jobs. This is one big example of it. So I just want to congratulate everybody, and I want to thank very much ExxonMobil, special company, special people. Thank you.
Okay. Now, the specifics of how many jobs are going to be created, et cetera, Donald Trump's a pathological liar. No one can confirm any of those numbers. But was that a giant ad for ExxonMobil or what? So Tillerson has a meeting with him. He does that ad. And then the White House puts out a press release. Now, let me read you, this is awesome, what ExxonMobil lobbyists wrote. Then I'm going to read you the White House press release. See if you could find any differences. So here's a press release from ExxonMobil. ExxonMobil is strategically investing in new refining and chemical manufacturing projects in the U.S. Gulf Coast region to expand its manufacturing and export capacity. The company is growing the Gulf expansion program, consists of 11 major chemical refining, lubricant, and liquefied natural gas projects at proposed new and existing facilities along the Texas and Louisiana coasts. Investments began in 2013 and are expected to continue through at least 2022. Now, let me read you the White House statement on this same issue. ExxonMobil is strategically investing in new refining and chemical manufacturing projects in the United States Gulf Coast region to expand its manufacturing and export capacity. The company's growing the Gulf program consists of 11 major chemical refining, lubricant, and liquefied natural gas projects that propose new and existing facilities along the Texas and Louisiana coasts. Investments began in 2013 and are expected to continue through at least 2022. In other words, identical. To be fair, I looked. There was one difference. They spelled out United States at the White House press release. They're doing giant ads for this giant oil company. What in the world is going on? Now, Time explains, through the statement and subsequent tweets, President Trump heavily complimented Exxon, which was most recently run by Trump's Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, for promoting job growth in the US. Now, there's two elements to this story. One is, this is what Russia wants. It is no exaggeration at all. The Russians had a $500 billion deal with which American company? You want to guess? ExxonMobil. And the sanctions that Obama put into place blocked that $500 billion deal. So now the Russians want that those sanctions removed. Trump winds up getting helped by the Russians in the election. I'll just leave it at what's in the public record, okay? And then all of a sudden, the Russians' best friend, Rex Tillerson, the guy that they had that $500 billion deal with, Rex Tillerson, the head of ExxonMobil, becomes the Secretary of State. Then Tillerson meets with Trump. A couple of hours later, Trump is like, oh my God, ExxonMobil. It's so awesome. I love ExxonMobil. Now, there's a second component to this. So, you know, Exxon gets what it wants. The Russians get what they want. But there's the problem with conflict of interest. Now, Rex Tillerson was a former CEO. As he became the Secretary of State, he said, no, that's I'm going to get rid of all my interest in ExxonMobil. But did he? He said at the time that there would be, quote, a complete and clear and clean break. He also said, and again, I told people, I don't even want the appearance that there's any connection to myself and the future fortunes up or down of the ExxonMobil Corporation. Now, let's tell you the amount of money that he had in there and what he's done with it since. Before becoming Secretary of State, as reported by BuzzFeed, Tillerson owned 600,000 shares of Exxon stock, in addition to 2 million deferred shares that would have been given to him over 10 years. Now, he apparently, well, let me give you the exact details. As of December 31st, Tillerson was officially retired from ExxonMobil. He vowed to forego unpaid bonuses, which lost him about $4 million. Now, give him credit on that, so he puts aside $4 million in bonuses. Now, and he's officially retired. Does that mean he got rid of all of his shares? First of all, the majority of the shares go to this. In a January 3rd press release, Exxon announced it would place payments related to deferred stock somewhere in the neighborhood of $160 million into a trust that would be run by an independent trustee. Now, I don't know the specifics of how that works, but he still has those shares. How blind could it be? Maybe they have a way of making it really blind. Do they sell the shares? That is very difficult for me to determine looking at it from the outside. But okay, he still has he put aside $4 million. He still has $160 million in deferred shares coming over the next 10 years. So are his fortunes tied to ExxonMobil? Of course they are. Okay, but that's the good news. Now let me show you the bad news. If Tillerson retained all of the 600,000 shares, these are the ones that did not go into the blind trust, they would have on Monday been worth $49.7 million. So he was supposed to get rid of those because he already has those shares. He didn't get rid of them, not yet. And while he still has those shares that are worth about $50 million, Donald Trump does a giant ad for ExxonMobil. And then the markets will react to that, and the stock price could easily go up of ExxonMobil. And then look at that guy who happens to own at least 50 million shares right before he sells it might have a nice little bump up in the price. The corruption is so obvious. They're slapping you across the face with it and they're just laughing at you. Like, yeah, of course. I'm going to do an ad for ExxonMobil. Rex is going to get rich. And then the Russians are going to get rich because they're going to do that deal with ExxonMobil. I took a guy who's totally unqualified, never been a diplomat in his life, never even thought about it, and I made him our Secretary of State just so we could do deals like this. They're not hiding the corruption. It's in plain sight. In fact, it's almost as if they're Dr. David D. Schultz and the voters are John Stossel. Go back to video six for me, Jesus. This is what they're doing to you guys. I took him by surprise, so give him a minute.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh? You think it's fake? You come.
What the hell is this face? Easy.
Huh? What do you mean?
Don't let them do that to you. Fight back. They're not even doing you the decency of hiding the corruption. They think, what are you going to do? It's an open-handed slap, but you're not going to do anything but run away. Okay, now more corruption. Let's go to China. Now, we were told recently that Donald Trump is not going to be involved in any of the businesses. They're not going to have any foreign ties at all. In fact, they're going to go further. A Raw story explains Trump and his children, who are overseeing the Trump Organization while he serves in the White House, have promised not to conduct foreign deals during his presidential term. Now that's curious because Donald Trump, while running for president in 2016, asked for an enormous number of trademarks and copyrights in China. Interesting. And let's just find out what happened right after he got elected. It turns out China has granted preliminary approval to 38 new Trump trademarks that would allow the US president and his family to develop name branded hotels, golf courses, and other hospitality services. Okay, even if they didn't develop it while Trump is in office, the fact that they got permission to develop it is already worth an enormous amount of money to them. And they clearly are doing it while he's in charge. It's clearly unconstitutional. And it's clear corruption. So I'm going to give you the details on why the corruption is clear in a second. But first, let's have a little bit of fun and find out the different kind of businesses that Trump trademarked. You're going to enjoy this. The pending trademarks are for Trump-branded golf clubs. That makes sense. Hotels. Okay, I get it. Insurance, finance, and real estate companies. All right, logical. Massage parlors. What? And social escort and concierge services, the Associated Press reported. Trump massages? Trump handies in Shanghai now. Man, I didn't see that coming, literally. Okay, now I could have fun with this all day long. And if they do this, it would be the first time a Trump business had a happy ending. But I don't think that's what they're going for here. To be fair, oftentimes you'll also buy trademarks to block other people using your name. So if other people wanted to set up, you know, Trump massages in China, he would be able to block it. Now, we don't know what he plans to do with it. We just know that he's got trademarks. Maybe we're being overly fair to him. You know, fame has this cycle, right? You in the beginning you get a little famous, then you get very famous, and then at some point you crash and burn. That's coming in a little bit later for Trump. And then at some point you lose all your money because you're used to spending it like a drunken sailor. And then you get desperate, but you still have a little bit of fame. And I call that the when you get super desperate, the porn part of fame. That's when like, oh God, I've run out of all options and I got to do porn. Right? And so for Trump, that might be in, I don't know if it's 4 years, 5 years, or 10 years. Well, we do have that Trump branded escort service and massage parlors in China. What are you going to do? Or when their dad's in jail, Donald and Eric, the doofuses that they are, like, I don't know, you want to do the massage parlor thing? Okay, anyways, for the moment being, let's leave that aside, okay? I got to hand it to him. I'm not saying that they're going to do the massage parlors right away. So let's get to the serious business here. Ethics lawyers have consistently warned that Trump could be in violation of the US Constitution's Emoluments Clause, which is the most awkwardly phrased clause in America. Anyway, which bans public servants from accepting anything of value from foreign states without congressional approval if he receives special treatment from China during the process. Did he receive special treatment? Well, let's go to the experts who do this all the time, try to get these kind of approvals from the Chinese government. Does it normally happen this way, where you just get 38 right away? Well, Richard Painter, former White House ethics lawyer with George W. Bush's administration, so deeply Republican. He says, a routine trademark, patent, or copyright from a foreign government is likely not an unconstitutional emolument. But with so many trademarks being granted over such a short time period, the question arises as to whether there is an accommodation in at least some of them. And then Ross Story, quoting Associated Press, says, an expert on intellectual property law in Hong Kong told AP he'd never seen so many trademark applications approved so quickly and so smoothly. And Dan Plain, IP Services Director, says, for all these marks to sail through so quickly and cleanly, with no similar marks, no identical marks, no issues with specifications, boy, it's weird.
I think it's weird.
It is indeed. If you're a regular business owner and you ask China, I'd like to have these 38 trademarks and copyrights, and snap to it. It's not how it works. It takes a long time. They come back with notes. They ask for adjustments. You negotiate. Goes on and on and on. And they'll approve some. Then a little bit later, maybe more, etc. In this case, they're like, yes, Mr. Trump. Oh, you, after making the call with Taiwan, you now have backpedaled and say that you agree with the One China policy, and you kicked out a Tibetan soccer team from the US. Very good, very good. 38 trademarks, check, approved overnight, good night. Okay, fantastic, we're done with it. Is he enriching himself while he's in office? The answer is, of course, this is enriching yourself. All of those approvals are worth a ton of money. And he got him because he's the president, and he knows it, and it's brazen. And he's just rubbing it in your face. He's like, what are you going to do? Keep up with my corruption with ExxonMobil, with Russia, with China, with my hotel in Washington? I've got so many different corruption scandals going at the same time, let alone all the other insane things I say that you'll never even keep track. That's the strategy. Largely true for the moment being. But at some point, if you do enough illegal or unconstitutional things, it will come back to bite you. So note all this stuff for the record, because he thinks he's clever. I don't think it's clever at all. At some point, you get caught. This isn't Trump University, and you're not dealing with some two-bit New York City public officials that you could bribe through campaign donations. You're the president of the United States. Everybody's watching. It's not that clever at all. At some point, he gets caught. Okay. Now, more corruption. Now, but this is on a grander scale, and it's for the entire Republican Party. So now that Donald Trump's president, the Republican Party officials, politicians, and most especially the donors think it's party time. Oh, they're in hog heaven. No holds barred. Just Katie, bar the door. We're coming. They want every single thing they ever dreamed of. So right now, they're asking for every tax cut in the world. They are deregulating at an unbelievable pace. They're cutting spending in the government across the board. They're getting everything they ever dreamed of. Now later, they'll throw Trump under a bus and then go, oh, you're mad at those policies? Oh, golly gee, that wasn't us, the Republican Party. That was that crazy guy, Donald Trump. No. It's the entire Republican Party, and they're doing it right now. Now, the latest twist in this is, well, wouldn't it be cool if corporations were above the law and they couldn't really practically sue us at all? Then we could do whatever the hell we wanted. I mean, obviously, they're not going to do any kind of law enforcement while Trump's in charge, while the Republicans are in charge. So we're free and clear on that. They're cutting the IRS by 14%. They're not going to audit us. Oh, these lawyers that actually want to represent people we've harmed. That's pesky. Let's get rid of that. So they have now have two laws that they have proposed. One of them, as explained here, the law would put restrictions on the criteria for people banding together for a class action suit. It also would complicate and delay any payments for an attorney representing the clients. Such an act would make it risky for any lawyer to take on a case to help someone hurt by a corporation. So what does that mean? Now, the reason why class action lawsuits are so important is if a company accidentally or on purpose, who knows, poisoned the river near you, or a pill that you ate, or food that you ate, and you want to sue them, if it's just one guy, you have no chance. They have an army of lawyers. Who are you going to sue them with? How in the world would you get the money to do that? And they know that. They want to make you powerless. The only way that you could actually sue them and hold them to account for the damage that they have done to you, your family, your loved ones, is if you could band together. They hate it when you band together. That's why they hate it when you do unions. One employee versus a giant employer has no chance. If you go up to your boss in one of those giant corporations, go, I don't want minimum wage, I'd like higher. Look, that's cute, you're fired immediately, get the hell out. Now, if the entire company does that, an entire factory does that, well, then now you balance the power a little bit and you can have real negotiations. Now, basically a similar concept in law. If it's one guy, you're never going to win. You don't have enough money. They'll crush you. Now, if you gather up a whole bunch of people, for example, you remember the Aaron Brockovich case? That was a class action lawsuit. A whole community had been hurt by the actions of this company. Some of them had died. So she brought them all together and they sued and they won. It turns out they were right. The company was damaging them. They were hurting their health, their family's health, and some people had died because of it. Thank God she was able to do that lawsuit. Lawsuits is to hold people accountable. Now what they would do is take that away. Class action lawsuits become much more difficult. And then they punish the lawyers who bring them. Now, the only hope you have if you're poor or middle class is that a lawyer takes it and then says, all right, if we win, I'll get a certain percentage of the win, because you don't have the money to pay them. They're very expensive. That's the only way they could do it. Now in this law, we're going to make it financially impossible for the lawyers to take them. We're going to punish the lawyers who want to represent the poor and the middle class so that they get no representation at all. So that it's easier to crush them and poison them and do whatever the hell we want. Now, not all corporations are bad. That's crazy talk. They're not all going to poison you. Of course not, right? But there are bad actors. And that's how we hold them accountable. That's how we separate out the good actors from the bad actors. Not every corporation is sued. Only the ones that are doing things that are actually harming the community. If you take that power away from the American people, you'll have nothing left to protect yourself. So, and that's not all. There's another part of this. They say HR 720, the Lawsuit Abuse Reduction Act, would require federal judges penalize or otherwise discipline any attorney that brings what they consider to be a quote unquote frivolous lawsuit. Currently, this decision is left up to the judge's discretion. Now, they make it mandatory so that they could punish lawyers who dare challenge corporations. Know your role. Everyone bow down to multinational corporations. Now, the reality is, if it was an actual frivolous lawsuit, the judge can already sanction them. In fact, any judge can dismiss a lawsuit as frivolous already. If a suit goes to a jury trial, it's because a judge already considers it to be a valid lawsuit. But no, not enough. If you lose, we're going to make punishing you mandatory, because there can be no one holding multinational corporations accountable as they rob us of our sovereignty, our ability to fight back, our ability to basically protect ourselves and our families. The Republicans are in charge. There are no more rules. These corporations that bought off all these politicians through their infinite corruption now think, yes, we get every present we ever wanted. We hand our Christmas wish list, not just to Trump, but this is the Republicans in Congress doing it. And all those Republicans say, yes, sir, absolutely, sir. How would you like to crush the average American, sir? Done, I'll introduce those bills immediately. And now I was going to do that story for you anyway. And then today there's a new story out with a third bill is specifically designed for Bank of America. Bank of America is the one that does most of these transactions. According to the records the Huffington Post looked into, they're the only ones lobbying on this bill. Why? So let's give you the details. The way the bill is written, it would shield significant conflicts of interest in the ETF world from a host of lawsuits for no apparent reason. Now, if you don't know what ETFs are, they're a financial instrument, kind of like a mutual fund, usually on an index of the stock market. That's not the important part. The important part is Bank of America does a lot of those deals. And if they're doing self-dealing and not letting the customers know that they're doing self-dealing, well, that used to be a problem. Now, what they're doing is, let's pass a law that says you can't sue me for that. Of course you should represent the best interest of your client. But in another story I told you about in the last week, they're also stripping that provision away. That was a regulation saying, hey, if you're in the financial world, you must represent the best interest of your client. Now the Republicans are saying, no, you don't have to represent the best interest of your client. Isn't that amazing? They're rubbing your face in it. And this is another version of that. No, no, Bank of America, you can do anything you like. You want to rob your clients? You want to charge them secret rates that they can't see? Or you make more money by doing the self-dealing, you bring it to another part of the company or another company you have a deal with, but you don't tell the client and you charge them extra percentage. Go ahead. I won't even let them sue you. I'll change the law so there's nothing your clients can do about it. Amazing. I'll give you one more description of this law. As is currently written, the fair, listen to this Orwellian title, the Fair Access to Investment Research Act, it actually blocks your access to investment research, it's amazing, would make it harder to sue a company when it issues bogus research reports during the launch of an ETF that it manages. The great American robbery has begun. They're going to loot the place in its entirety. Now there are no brakes in the car. Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House. All the goodies their donors ever wanted is going to go straight into their pockets. So, look, there is terrible corruption in the Democratic Party, too. I think the whole system is built wrong. If you build a system where private interests finance our elections, the people who are elected will serve those private interests. They will not serve the public. This is not our House of Representatives. They will represent the donors and not the voters. We've built the system in a wrong way. I think Wolfpack is the answer. You do a constitutional amendment and you make it illegal to take these campaign donations from private interests, from multinational corporations, from the incredibly rich. You make it illegal. You publicly finance elections so that the politicians serve the public. They become our representative. Wolf-pack.com. That's how you fix the system. We've got to get an amendment. We've got to do it right away. Now, at the state level, Republicans agree with that. Democrats agree with that. We win in so many different places. And certainly the voters, Republican voters hate the corruption. I'm not blaming you guys at all. You hate the crony capitalism. You're true Americans, just like Democrats, libertarians, and independents. Okay? 90% of Americans agree this is disgusting. But at the national level, the Republicans have cornered the market on corruption. If the Democratic Party is 80% corrupt, and it probably is, the Republican Party at this point is just about 100% corrupt. They brazenly represent these multinational corporations and strip away any power the average American has to fight back. And they're doing it in these three different ways as we speak. If they get all those things put into law, you'll have no recourse at all. Those corporations run over your family. You won't even have a lawyer to represent you. You won't be able to band together to fight back. They'll strip you of all of your power, all of your sovereignty. This is what the Republican Party has become. It is the swamp. Young Turks.